And welcome back in Game Day, SportsRadio.com. Boji Wood with you on the Monday Morning Blitz, sponsored by Firehouse Subs, over 1,000 locations nationwide. Firehouse Subs, the hero of all subs. And speaking of danger zones, it's time to get in the danger zone. Bringing Mike Bernard from OTM Sports on a Monday Morning Blitz. Mike, how was your weekend?
Long as usual, but we survived it and ready to recap some college games. And we won't recap NFL till tomorrow. Is that correct?
Yeah, we'll recap NFL tomorrow. And we're going to concentrate on colleges this morning on the Monday Morning Blitz. On the Tuesday Morning Blitz, we will recap NFL. And, of course, now if your schedule doesn't allow, we'll go in the afternoon tomorrow. We'll have you on one of the afternoon shows tomorrow. But anyway.
I'll be here.
Okay, well, I was going to say, tomorrow will be our NFL recap day. And that way we'll be able to talk about tonight's game with the Chiefs and the Broncos. But let's get right into the college games and just review, hit some of the highlights, so to speak. Clemson 27, Syracuse 23. You know, Dabo's worst nightmare really became his sweetest dream. I know you're very busy on Saturday, but when I'm watching that game and I see Trevor Lawrence hit and go down, I'm thinking like, uh-oh.
Yeah, that was and there's so many games I have to watch for work purposes, but I also like to watch games as a fan. And there's so many games going on, especially in that time slot. I didn't get to see the actual play. Of course, I saw the replay. But, you know, it was Murphy's Law was perfect timing in that situation.
It was. And Chase Bryant, the redshirt freshman from Grayson High School, right outside of Atlanta here, he comes in, he manages the game, but he makes a huge fourth down throw that allows them to win the football game. He ends up being 7 of 13 for 83 yards. Didn't have a touchdown, had the one pick, but again, played well enough for Clemson to win. You know, Trevor Lawrence, who was knocked out in the, I think it was late first quarter, but I know it was in the first half. He was 10 of 15 for 93 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. But I think when he went down, the Clemson sideline, the entire 80-plus thousand there in Memorial Stadium, I think they gasped and we're looking around to see if number two was anywhere close by. But one thing about that injury, and again, you and I have talked about this off the air over the past years and everything, you know, it's hard to, you know, team chemistry is hard to find, and once you have it, you know, you don't want to do anything to break it up. And Kelly Bryant not being there, you know, it affects team chemistry one way or the other. I mean, you know, it affects it. But Chase Bryce came in and I thought did just what he needed to do to keep things settled. And it looked like the Clemson team actually pulled together after Lawrence went down.
Yeah, I saw the same thing. And not a lot said, but it's not like Lawrence was setting the world on fire. Remember, Syracuse was a 25-point underdog, and Clemson was struggling with him at the helm. So Chase Bryce came in. He did a fine job, not to take away from him, but the real key for Clemson coming back was their defensive front and the running back, ETN, getting 200-plus yards and three touchdowns.
He did, but in the game actually turned. Of course, let's remember that Syracuse beat Clemson last year up in the Carrier Dome when Kelly Bryant was playing injured and ended up getting knocked out of the game. He never should have been playing in the first place because he was injured going into that game. But he was knocked out of the game, and Syracuse got a huge win. You know, Mike, except for an offensive tackle doing something stupid, Syracuse comes into Death Valley and beats Clemson for the second year in a row.
Yeah, and I'm really impressed with how Syracuse looks right now. Not, you know, that win last year, that was more of a fluke and a situational play, but they came in and played physically. Right now, I would rank Clemson's defensive front as the best, if certainly one of the top three. And Syracuse, Dino Babers has that team playing a physical football, and they're mentally tough.
Yeah, they are mentally tough. One thing that disturbed me about the end of that game, though, and I'm not insinuating that, Syracuse was a lock to come drive the field and score and win the game. But I thought that, I think Dino Babers is a good coach, but like so many other coaches that you and I talk about, he used poor clock management on Saturday at the end of that game. He had three timeouts in his pocket that he could have stopped the clock when Clemson was down inside the 10, and he could have saved any, depending upon when he used them, he could have saved anywhere from, 40 seconds to a minute and a half on the clock to give his team time to get down the field and score. But then he ends up getting the ball, I think, with around, 36 seconds, something like that, with three timeouts. And of course, they got the Clemson defense really stood up at that time. But again, just an example of poor clock management. Let's move to the SEC. Kentucky 24, South Carolina 10. That was Kentucky's fifth straight over South Carolina. Of course, up next, they travel to College Station to take on the Aggies at Texas A&M. Mike, I don't know how much you've seen Kentucky. I've watched a lot of their games from start to finish. I still don't think that they've played a complete game. This is a pretty good football team.
They are good, and they certainly have South Carolina's number because they've beaten them 5 years in a row. And I agree with you. They have not played a complete game, but in this game against South Carolina, they were plus +3 in turnovers. And through five games, Coach, this team's only allowing 13 points per game. Remember the last, when I think of the Kentucky teams that had success, it was, the Tim Couch, the Hal Mumme teams and some of the high-scoring Kentucky teams. Those were the teams that were able to make it to bowl games and have, success in the win column. But this team is doing with run game and defense.
And as they go out to Texas A&M, Benny Snell Jr., that great running back of theirs, is going to have a good game against Texas A&M for Kentucky to have a chance. I think that Mark Stoops is going to have this team ready, though, to go out there and be competitive. Now, again, they're sitting at 5-0 right now. If they win on Saturday at Texas A&M, obviously they're bowl eligible with six wins in the first week of October. For $500, if you can tell me the last time that Kentucky would have been bowl eligible in the first week of October under the present guidelines of bowl selection, we've got a prize for you. You got any idea when that would have been?
Let's see.
I'll tell you what, I'll make it even this easier. I won't even ask you to name the year. Just name the head coach. And remember, bowl eligible, first week of
Bear
October.
Bear Bryant.
Well, let me tell you, you're not far off. And actually, I guess technically you are correct. And the reason being is because in 1977, Frank Kersey and the Wildcats went 10-1 that year with Sonny Collins at running back. But they were on probation, so they couldn't go to a bowl that year. So I guess, yeah, you win the prize. It'll be shipped out in the mail, but you can't win anything else for the next 30 days, okay?
Yeah, I'll be waiting at the mailbox for that, sure.
All right, the big game of – or one of the big games, I think the biggest game of Saturday, Ohio State, Penn State, Ohio State 27-26. I mean – come on, James Franklin, what about that questionable fourth down play call? I mean, what was he thinking?
I don't know, Coach. And normally I reserve my right to criticize the coaches about game management. You referred to it earlier. I see it, I'm not exaggerating, 20 times a Saturday and a handful of times on Sunday. It's simple math. It's basic strategy, and the coaches don't get it. But this fourth down play call – I have this sense, I don't have anything to back this up, but I have this sense that play that maybe McSorley just checked to that and it was a bad check and Franklin's protecting his player.
Listen, I'm going to disagree with you there for this reason, is because Trace McSorley, he was 16 of 32, 286 yards and two touchdowns. His biggest plays were coming off of basically what, I hate to say this because it sounds so cliche-ish, but RPO, a run-pass option. where he would actually get, you know, have a fake inside to control the linebackers or the defensive end, whoever was assigned to the dive, and then him get out on the perimeter. And but this had none of that. This was straight zone read run. That's all it was. There was no run pass option in that play whatsoever. And I think had he wanted to check to something at all, I think he would have, you know, he would have checked out of that. Because, listen, and we'll talk about another game later on that same type thing happened. It was just, I'm still scratching my head over it. But forget that fourth down play. Let's talk about the four, and I say nothing's easy, but the four probable points that Penn State left on the field. They get down there, and points are at a premium in a game like this. And, you know, you try to go it for it on fourth and one against a very big, and I know their best player was not on that defensive line. Even without him, they showed they're still a pretty good defensive front. And instead of going for the points, they stuff it. Then he scores and he goes for two, trying to make it a 14-point game. He's chasing points when he should have been tallying up points.
Yeah, Coach, I'm shaking my head as we talk right now. Look, I saw it yesterday in the NFL. I saw teams going for two, four or five times in the first half. So on the same, I don't think you go for two until you get at the very minimum with a couple of minutes left to go in the third quarter, preferably in the fourth quarter, because like you say, you're chasing points the rest of the game. Sometimes it works out, but most of the time it doesn't. And I think a lot of those things are simple strategy, basic math, and the coaches just aren't really focused on that. But let's also point out, Ohio State got the win. Now, on Inside the Numbers, I said I would take Ohio State on the money line, but I wouldn't lay the 3 or 3.5. And they frankly, you know, shouldn't have won the game because they were outgained by 100 plus point yards. And Penn State ran the ball for 200 yards on them.
Yeah, Ohio State's defense, again, I still think they're one of the, you know, the top defenses in the country, especially that front seven. And when they were able to get big yardage running the football, is like I said earlier, when they got outside the perimeter and they were able to make yardage out on the edge, not up the middle. And I think that, you know, that was the key to the game. And again, kind of not to beat the dead horse, but that's why I cannot understand on that fourth down play why they didn't do something to get McSorley out there on the edge. All right, Mike, we've got to take a break real quick. We've got plenty more games to cover. We'll be right back on Game Day, sportsradio.com, the Monday Morning Blitz.